Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B, a Survivor Fun and Games podcast. My name is Mike Bloom, here to talk about the double episode, double whopper of a cheeseburger feast of Survivor 35. We're going to do a lot of fun stuff today with an illustrious panel of guests. First, let me welcome the person who is here week in and week out on the B&B, Liana Boris. Liana, how you doing?
I'm great. I know that whales have been the editor's choice for the animal this season, but I'm just excited to finally be here with my Australian white whale.
Well, let's get to the Moby Dick from Down Under here. Our guest today, we are continuing our B&B world tour as we make our way south of the equator. He's a contestant from Australian Survivor 2016 and the host of the Survivor Know-It-Alls, coming off of a megalith season of Australian Survivor. Nick Yadanza, welcome to the B&B. How you going?
Yes, guys. Thank you so much for having me. It is an absolute pleasure. It's been a big journey across the pond, and I'm checking into the B&B. So thanks for welcoming a weary traveler like Mike with his Statue of Liberty metaphor, which went nowhere. So hopefully my journey ends nicely, better than his did.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you're a big fan, especially from your Australian Survivor coverage, and apologies in advance to some of our listeners. You know, as Nick is not only an Australian Survivor podcaster, but also an alum, suffice it to say, there probably will be some references to sneak in there. We'll try to, you know, keep our talk segmented in certain parts of the podcast as much as possible to not, dismay people who have not seen the series thus far. But I know you're a big fan, as you talked about on your podcast, Nick, of similes and metaphors that are involved on the show. And I feel like we had it in droves, not even this season, but in this episode specifically. We got, you know, tribal council as a whiteboard. We even got like the symbolism, which I know you enjoy really well as well, of Devin wearing Ben's hat. So really, we picked a perfect week to bring you in.
Well, look, as an English teacher, I know my way around some really bad metaphors. And this week we had whiteboard surgeons. We had Statue of Liberty, knights. Romanian gymnasts. There was something about prom. Like this is right up my alley. But do you know before when you were like, sorry, you know, you wanted, first of all, we're going to apologize. I thought you were going to apologize to all the listeners who do not understand Nick's accent, because I know there have been some really dodgy Australian accents that have been going around this season. Not only from Patrick, but you did one earlier in the B&B in one of the episodes very early on. And Mike, like, I am your biggest fan, but that was terrible. It was like, g'day, mate.
Yeah, like Mike just pulls all the cliches you can think of, like putting shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah. Well, if that's what I sound like, guys, I apologize. Please, you don't have to listen. It just must be torture.
That's okay. We'd rather have you than have Mike do his impression. So
yes.
What are you talking about, Sheila's? I don't know why I slowed down. I don't know why my Australian accent is suddenly at half speed. But right. Nick, we are happy to have you, if only to properly contextualize what the Australian accent sounds like. So as always, we want to get your Survivor origin story. Now, I know you talked on the Taran show not too long ago about the fact that you are a day one fan, but I also know that throughout the course of your life, you actually have incorporated a bunch of random Survivor elements into your life proper. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, no, I'm not a day one Survivor fan. I started watching the Gretchen episode.
What? Are you kidding me?
No, I'm joking. Apparently, that's what you need to do when you come on the B&B. Like, that's where everyone starts watching Survivor. I could not believe how everyone has this weird affinity for this like cultural touchstone moment of Gretchen being voted out.
Yes, we all know where we were when Gretchen Cordy was voted out.
Yeah, it's like, where were you when Gretchen was voted out? No, it was definitely, yeah, day one. As I said on the Taran show, I'm a huge fan, always have been, and yeah, I definitely found ways to make Survivor part of my life, and that was, well, I had a Survivor theme 21st. When I was like in year seven, I made a Survivor competition at school. It's just been this weird obsession that many people can relate to. But a day one and all the way through.
Now, I do have to ask, what is your relationship with Survivor Nicaragua? Because that is the other thing.
Yes.
We care very deeply about here at the B&B.
So let's like contextualize it in like a Facebook way. Are you like in a relationship? Are you like, I don't know, seeing other people? Are you in an open relationship with Survivor Nicaragua?
It's complicated.
Ooh, it's complicated.
I'm checking that it's complicated. I loved Brenda. Like, I was like a Brendhead. Is that what you'd call it? I was just like obsessed with Brenda, and I thought the rest of it was pretty terrible. But, yeah, I can't believe that everyone has these weird Nicaragua and Gretchen stories, and I was like racking my brains to try and come up with one for you. But alas, no, I'm just a Survivor fan who then got to go and play Survivor.
Now, what I will say is, would you say that Survivor Nicaragua, outside of Brenda, was pretty toothless then?
Oh, I get it.
That's all that matters. Not even a laugh. Just acknowledge that you get the joke, and that will satiate my part of my soul.
Mike. And your listeners might not know, but it's very late here in Australia, and I am running on fumes at the moment. So if my jokes don't land, or if I don't understand yours, guys, just chalk it up to the fact that, oh, did I understand his accent properly? Yeah,
that's what I tell Mike all the time whenever his jokes fall flat. I'm like, I just didn't understand your accent.
Why do you think I talk in an Australian accent? And so I have a cover to hide behind. I do want to ask, Nick, before we move on to the episode proper, I'm so intrigued by specifically your Survivor theme 21st, because I feel like when you have a birthday party that's competition-based, do you feel like everyone else was pressured to let you win because it was your birthday?
Well, otherwise it would have been a sad birthday party.
Yeah, exactly.
We know how those go. No, it was great. I didn't participate. I had about 20 different tables, and under one chair at each table there was a colored buff. And I told everyone when I was doing my speeches, okay, everyone check under your chairs. And there was one person from each table who was going to come up, and they came up and they participated in a gross eating challenge. And then there was like, so it was heats, and then there was like a final. So they ate boiled sheep's brains, and then they ate fish eyes. And I was not going to be involved in that whatsoever. I was just going to inflict that on my guests. And it was so much fun.
That's the most work anybody's ever put into a 21st birthday party. That's impressive.
It was crazy. You know, it was crazy. There was a voting booth, and the invites were torches, and there was a treasure hunt, and it was that we served coconut and rice. It was pretty sick to think about that. I one day actually got to go play Survivor, and just this 21-year-old weirdo was essentially forcing all of his guests to, like, you know, because I thought that was the closest I would ever get.
I was going to say, your guests are probably feeling pretty sick by the end of it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody goes to your 22nd birthday party. They're like, this guy is going to make us eat more sheep brains. Like, we're not going.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think that's also the fun thing is, well, congratulations, Nick, on actually simulating what the morning after a usual 21st birthday party would feel by making them eat sheep eyes instead of just consume alcohol.
Yeah, we had plenty of alcohol to, like, purge people's stomachs after that.
Well, let's talk about this double episode. Let's try to, you know, purge or binge the double two-hour episode of Survivor 35 that we had this past week. Again, Nick, as someone who likes to cover International Survivor, which always seems to be airing, or at least Oceanic Survivor, seems to love to air episodes, multiple episodes in one week. We found the perfect person to come on and talk about this. But I also know that coming on this podcast, you had told me that you had actually binged this season up to this point. I'm so intrigued to hear from you before we get into the episodes proper. What have you thought about this season so far? And do you think that, does it maybe compare on a binge to watching it week to week like we've been doing? I wonder, you know, how those two experiences kind of compare.
Yeah, so the reason why I binge was because, you know, coming off of, you know, playing Survivor and then doing the podcast for Australian Survivor Season 2, I just felt a little bit burnt out. And I love Survivor, but I felt like I needed to take a little step away. So I took about a month where I just didn't have anything to do with Survivor. And in the meantime, you know, the American season had started. So I needed to kind of catch up. And so a little bit of it was spoiled for me. But it was actually a lot of fun because in one night my wife had a Christmas party, and I just like went and smashed, you know, all the episodes in a row. And it was really, really fun to do it that way, because never in the history of Survivor have I ever actually been able to do that, because I've always watched every episode as it goes. So it was actually really cool to watch it because I didn't have to wait. And then I know that there's been a lot of people who have kind of like said that there's been maybe the season's been a bit slow for them, or there's been, you know, a couple of episodes which kind of dragged. I didn't feel that because it was just part of one long narrative to me. And I really enjoyed watching it that way. I got to say, I'm loving this season. Like, I really am. And I know, again, like, there's been people online who said it hasn't been the greatest, but, you know, was it Brent who came on who was like, what do you want? Like, what do people mm-hmm. want for, mm-hmm. like, people, you know, Survivor fans, you know, I'm one of them, love you all, and you know, we're all the same in some regards, but this has been pretty good. Like, we can't complain. There's been some really epic stuff happen. You know, the episode with the spaghetti idol, and then that fight underneath the flag, and which was like a fake fight kind of thing. That was instantly in my top 10 Survivor moments of all time. I loved wow. that whole thing. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. There's been some other things which have been a bit slow, but no, I really have enjoyed binging it, and I can't wait to talk about it with you guys.
Well, that's interesting that, you know, because I do think that some of the criticisms that people have had about it being slow, like the fact that you were able to kind of binge through it, you never really got that.
No.
Okay. Yeah. You know, this was maybe a little bit of a letdown, but then you don't have to wait a whole week. You know, you can kind of push through it. And I yeah. do think that there's going to be stuff, you know, when we have the opportunity to go back and rewatch, I think that the season is going to look better on the rewatch because we're going to kind of be able to just sort of push through, you know, maybe some of the more boring elements to get to the exciting things like that fake fight, you know, that you talked about and the spaghetti and, you know, everything that happened in these two episodes, which was, I think, really interesting. So, I think that that's an interesting take, considering the differences in watching
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And I feel that like, it's one of the first seasons in a really long time where at this point, and maybe even like the previous episode, but I guess maybe from this point onwards, anyone could win. Like mm-hmm. I can see them pretty much making a case for anyone, maybe not Ashley, but like, I feel like we've gotten enough out of everyone. That hasn't been the case all the time. There's always been like mm-hmm. a Sunday or a Troy Zan or, you know, someone that you know is just not going to get there. So I appreciate that.
Not only that, but I feel like, and this was talked about a little bit on the Know-It-Alls this past week, I feel like the characterizations that are being made of these people are, I don't know if I use the term well-rounded, but I feel like there's more shades to them than sometimes mm-hmm. what we see on Survivor in that. I mean, yeah. they talked about it again on the Know-It-Alls that I wouldn't say everyone's been doing something villainous, but I would say that everyone has kind of been shown in not necessarily the most over-the-top positive or over-the-top yeah. negative light, which, I mean, I'm always grateful for because at the end of the day, even though we're only seeing a certain edited amount of the show, these are people. And I feel like I most enjoy the show when we get to see people represented as people sure. instead of people represented as characters. And that's what I feel like we're really getting, especially with these final seven, as you mentioned.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and I think that that's also interesting because there have been some criticism of people saying, you know, I haven't found anybody that I want to root for yeah. or that I'm, you know, 100% behind. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that we're seeing all the sides of, you know, the people who are playing this season. And I like that too, you know, because you're going to have to accept whoever you're going to root for. You have to accept with their flaws also. So I actually think it's really interesting, but I do understand then why, you know, it's hard to really rally behind somebody if you see them being portrayed in a negative light from time to time.
So I think that someone like Lauren, for example, is like, I feel like she's like a real old school casting choice. Does anyone else feel that? I feel like she's someone that we haven't seen in a while. And I appreciate that. I think that's been really cool. But yeah. I'm finding heaps of people to root for, whether it's Lauren, but Chrissy and Ryan and Devin, like these are all people that I would be 100% happy if they took out the title.
Well, going back to Lauren, I actually saw comparisons, I think on Reddit, but to Twyla. That yeah, was yeah. sort of her, like kind of her, you know, the player that she might be most similar to. So I thought that that was really interesting.
I get real Helen Glover vibes from Lauren, and I love
Helen.
Yeah, I
can see that too.
Yeah, I feel like it's very, it's that idea of like the very matter of fact older woman. And I yeah. feel like Chrissy sort of satiates that as well, but she's also very much more about the gameplay. And Lauren is as well, but I feel maybe she just has a more kind of grounded attitude. But we'll see at the end of the day, you know, if Ben says, hey, Lauren, I'm going to take you to a NASCAR game, then really the Twyla comparison will hold. I sort of want to segue that into our talk about these two episodes, because it goes back to your idea, Nick, of sort of overall narratives. And I feel like these 2 hours are a great microcosm of that, in that I really do feel like this wasn't necessarily a rise and fall, but to sort of see the culmination of this group of four, to make an Australian Survivor reference, I'll call it the Cheeseburger Alliance, since it was formed on a reward. To see them come together and then sort of execute these two plans. I don't know exactly what's going to happen next week, if to segue into a Big Brother comparison, if we're sort of going to get like an Exterminators like run out of them from Big Brother 15. But I thought these two episodes paired really nicely together, much like a cheeseburger and a loved one letter from home. Liana, what did you think?
Yeah, I did. I really liked these episodes. I thought that, you know, that seeing that narrative and kind of seeing the breakup of the seven was really interesting. And, you know, also, I think I said this before, but no one has this amazing game. You know, everybody has these flaws. And so, you know, there's a lot of debate about, oh, was JP the right pick? You know, should they have tried to blindside Ryan? You know, and I think that actually having, you know, gameplay that is debatable is really fun. You know, I mean, maybe just because like we're involved in the community and like having these discussions, but you know, it's been really nice to see the to see more strategy being played out, to see these characters now start to come, or these players start to come together, old relationships fracture. Plus there were a lot of really hilarious lines from different people, whether forced or not. Like, oh my god, I'm not, like, one of my favorites is, and it's really subtle, but Ben, when they get back from the very first tribal, when Mike does his whole trying to piss people off so that, you know, they'll vote for him, and then you can just hear Ben in the background, you don't even see him, but he just yells, "Nice try, Lady Liberty." And I don't know why, but I just lost it, and I was laughing the rest of the episodes just because I was thinking of that. It was so funny.
Even Joe in that moment was like, yeah totally. And one of the things I loved about that first scene as well was the fact that by the end of it, it was a complete role reversal in that everyone in the seven was now pitying Joe and saying, oh, Mike's out looking for an idol, stupid Mike. And it's like, this is such an insane flip-flop from even a day prior. It's one of the things I absolutely love about Survivor.
Like, somehow Joe now gets the sympathy for what's going on because, like, Mike is the insane person. Oh, my gosh.
So, Nick, what did you think about these two episodes?
Yeah, I thought they were really good together, and I was really happy that we got to yada yada through JP going, because, like, no offense, JP, but that's well covered territory that he was not a shining star in the season. We got rid of him, and I loved being able to see this whole, you know, let's come up with a plan and then see the fallout of Ben's kind of double agent. Can I just say that I think this is a terrible plan? Like, I think it worked really well in this instance, but I think it's such a terrible plan long term, because when they find out that he has been double crossing them so much, I don't think that, say, for example, that Chrissy and Ryan are gone in the next couple of votes and then Ben finds his way to the end. When they find out that he was playing double agent the whole time, I don't think they're going to go, do you know what? Good game. Really? Yeah, you guys got me. I reckon they'll actually be like, well, that was kind of screwed up. Like, you really lingered that on for far too long. And I think it's going to come back to bite him in the ass. I love how Devin was like, you be the secret agent, because, you know, you can't recommend yourself, but like it puts such a bad light on Ben, I think. And Devin can take the credit of coming up with a plan if people think it's a good idea, but he won't get any of the backlash if people think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, so I actually completely agree with that. And I think that it's Ben playing this double agent is a bad move for Ben, but it's a great move for the other three.
Yeah,
because the thing is, you know, we even saw in that last, you know, the second hour where they want to take out Ben. And so by kind of putting him in this middle position, if they can show that Ben also, even, you know, Ryan and Chrissy may take it, like you said, kind of more personally, that he was the one that, you know, lied so much and backstabbed and betrayed and was on this, you know, had this plan the entire time, they're going to want to target Ben. They're going to take that frustration out on Ben, not on Devin, Lauren, and Ashley, who are the ones who, you know, sort of, I guess, spearheaded this whole thing. So I think that Ben's in a really precarious position, and you're going to have now, like, both groups mad, right? Because you have the three, I guess, that still want to take you out because they think you're going to win. And then if the others find out, they're going to be really mad at you. So I think this does put Ben, you know, like you said, in a really precarious position.
So do you think it would have been better for him to do what Devin did, essentially, of saying, you know, hey, I had to betray one of my closest allies in the game, but I'd rather rip the Band-Aid off now than have to sort of prolong the wound and let it fester?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, and that's something that we kind of saw on Big Brother this past summer where, you know, when you betray somebody, you know, it's, you need to give them time to get over it. And so then they'll be able to vote for you in the end. And so if that wound is still fresh, I think that they're going to feel, you know, still hurt by Ben. And you have to, you know, when you vote for the winner, you have to feel good about wanting that person to win. And so if you still feel betrayed by Ben, it's going to be really hard for you to give that person, you know, your vote.
Yeah. And as someone who's been out there, like when I was, my alliance turned on me, like I definitely needed a lot of time before I would have even considered voting for them. And to find out maybe like a couple of days before a finale that they had been really, really, really laying it on thick for a really long time, I don't think I could have made that switch so quickly. Mm-hmm. So very interested to see how it turns out. But there's one other thing. I know we're going to get to the games and stuff, but did you guys see when they were like, you know, having their little, was it their like veggie wrap meal or whatever it was, or the burgers or something, and they saw that there were the pieces of paper underneath the burger buns. I thought it was so funny that they were all like, yeah, we trust each other. As soon as someone said, oh, there's something under the buns, like five of them like scrambled for it. It's like they thought that was an idle clue, don't you think?
Yeah, especially because it was hidden.
Yes.
So you couldn't really see it.
Oh, yeah, you really all trust each other, don't you?
Like how quickly that would fall apart.
Yeah.
That would have been hilarious if they're like, oh, guys, we're in this till the end. This bonds us. And then it's like, oh, here's a piece of paper. Give it to me.
Yeah, we see the second fight for the under the flag fight, but this time it's over the like pieces of paper hidden under hamburger buns, which was funny in and of itself. The letters were just like underneath. At least they didn't put them under, you know, I don't know, the actual burger patties. You imagine like getting all these greased up letters.
Or under the spaghetti, because apparently that's how you eat spaghetti, just like not on a plate these days.
Yes, on top of spaghetti is an idle clue. Well, let's start moving into the games and segments themselves. We're going to start like we start every week here.
Mike, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt you because before we get to your games, I've actually brought a game for you guys.
What?
You're such a nice guest, Nick. You brought us like a housewarming gift almost.
Well, I just thought, you know, a little game to kind of, you know, spice things up a little bit, warm us up. I thought, you know, you guys have been slaving away over a hot stove, you know, making all these delicious treats for us all season. Surely I can bring something to the table first. How do you feel?
All right. Yeah, absolutely. What have you got for us?
Okay. Well, it seems over the season that our unofficial official B&B mascot has been Mookie. Yes.
Yes. Mookie Lee of Survivor Fiji. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm a big mook head, and I just think that there's some fun to be had here. So I did a little research, and I want to play a game called Two Mooks, One Lie.
Oh God!
Oh my goodness! What?
Yes.
In preparation, I added Mookie on Instagram.
What?
And went searching for some information, and you have to tell me which two things are truthful and what is the lie about Mookie's life. Okay, you ready?
That is really impressive. Like, by friending him on Instagram, that's already so much work. That's amazing.
Guys, like, it was really difficult. I had to, like, click on a button of two. Like, it was, you know, I work hard for you guys. I appreciate the invite.
I mean, I think we also got lucky as well in that, like, Mookie was on 21 seasons ago. Like, I think he'd be like accepting of anyone at this point, to be completely honest. Any port in a storm, really. So
yeah,
thank you for taking the time to click that button, Nick.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Okay, I've got three facts for you which I have gathered really creepily without his consent from his Instagram page, which is private, by the way, but he accepted me. Okay, first one. Mookie owns a Pokeball business. And I guess that's how you say it, but it's not as in like the Pokemon ball, but the food, the Hawaiian food.
Oh, well, Pokeballs. Yeah.
Pokeball. Yes. Okay. Two, his real name is not Mookie. And three, he has a dog named Edgardo.
Ooh.
Which is the truth, and which are the two mooks in there?
All right. Well, I think I know, but I want to get Liana to sort of like espouse her thoughts on this.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Do I think his name is actually Mookie? I never considered this. That like might not actually be true. Okay. All right. Okay, I think I have my answer.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm pretty sure his name is not Mookie. I don't remember what his actual first name is, but I'm pretty sure I've seen Mookie in quotation several times. So unless people are, I don't know, using it sarcastically, I don't think Mookie is his real name. Much like the aforementioned Sarge from Survivor Vanuatu.
All right. Is that what you're locking in?
Yeah, we'll go with B.
That is true. His real name is not Mookie. So the lie is that he does not have a dog called Edgardo.
What's his name?
Okay, so I said his real name is not Mookie. His real name is Quinn Mook, which apparently he then named himself Mookie when he moved to America, apparently.
Okay, all right, good to know. This is probably the most I knew about Mookie. And that includes watching him on Survivor Fiji. So
it was
I've
so funny.
Learned so much.
I was trying to come up with. This is how I dedicated it. I even went and tried to find Edgardo on Instagram, but unfortunately, he does not have an Instagram. So I just made him the fake answer.
Well, so Nick, when you move to America, what are you going to nickname yourself?
I don't know, something veggie wrap or something like that.
Snakey.
Snakey works.
Oh God, I mean, you would not be able to get a drink at Starbucks because I don't think anyone wants to. Or they probably say like snacky drink for snacky.
You know, it's so funny. I gotta say this. So the other day I was walking down the street, and you know, I was on Survivor like over a year ago, quite a long time. It's over, right? I was walking down the main strip here in Adelaide, and someone was like,
What? Actually?
It still happens. That was happening really frequently when I got off of Survivor, and like someone is still like snakes. It's
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either that or someone's trying to speak parcel tongue. I don't know. Like, look out. I know there are a lot of snakes in Australia as well. So maybe it was also a snake disguised as a man. Really, the possibilities are endless. So thank you for that game, Nick. I feel sufficiently warmed. Let's see if that will warm up maybe my cold streak in our predictions game.
Oh yes.
As always, Liana and I have written our preseason predictions about the person most recently booted from the show. Nick, you are going to be the judge to determine who has the more accurate prediction. We'll take these one at a time. Let's start with JP. Liana, what literal song and dance have you prepared this time about JP?
Yes. So less singing, less dancing this time, less jazz hands. But so what I had for JP is I had him making the merge. And this is what I wrote about JP. Remember, the Patrick Alliance is still very much part of the game.
Yes,
so JP is jump ship from the Heroes to vote with the Patrick Alliance, which is currently running the game. But the former Hustlers are concerned that JP, along with being an individual immunity threat, might be willing to swing back to the non-Patrick Alliance and make a grab for power. But JP has no such intention, as he did not realize this was a thing you could do on Survivor and is just waiting to see what happens. He happily goes to Ponderosa to eat white bread and things like that. He receives a hashtag purple edit because the editors couldn't figure out a way to cut out all the quote, you knows, JP said every 4 seconds.
I like it. All right.
I also had JP making the merge / jury. Here's what I said. JP's outdoorsiness will let him be spared for the majority of the pre-merge. His laid-back attitude and preferential treatment of camp life over strategy will allow someone like Chrissy to scoop him up as a solid number two. JP will approach the merge in the majority, but will get an idol played against him and gets eliminated, taking a bullet for one of his allies.
Oh,
damn.
Guys, you, this is tricky. This is tricky. And I feel like, you know, I can't even hold any past wrong against you, Mike, like previous guests.
I was going to say, I'm glad you disregarded my accent then, because I feel like that could, when you said that, I was like, oh, here we go.
No, I forgot about that. Okay, so for crimes against Australia, Liana wins.
What?
No, you guys, no, seriously, you guys, were that was very, very close. But I think what I liked about Liana's was where you said that he goes to eat white bread because... I know that's happening. That is, he's gone to Ponderosa, and when he gets to Ponderosa, he's not talking about the game or what all at all. He has forgotten about Survivor. He is already like sitting there talking about how he's going to go back, go back, watch some sports, eat white bread and be a firefighter. Like, and that's exactly true. You saw into the future, Liana. You win the point.
Hooray!
And you didn't even have to dance or anything.
And if you do watch his Ponderosa video, it is very similar. Where like even Desi's like, yeah, JP took this really well, almost a little too well.
Yeah, and he's just like, well, I guess I'm going to use this as an opportunity to get back work on my flexibility, and he's like out there just like working out, like totally in his own world.
Yeah, but you guys, seriously, you both did very well. Every week I've been listening and just thinking, you guys are crazy to put yourselves on the line. I like have nearly an anxiety attack trying to pick a winner. Like you guys have like literally tried to pick 24 places.
That's right. We have no shame.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's great. This is actually my first season. This is actually my first season without picking a winner because I didn't do any preseason stuff. Who were your winner picks? Oh, no, you can't say because that'll give away the game.
We can't say. Maybe it will be this next Castaway, Joe. Oh, let's talk about our preseason predictions. Liana, what did you think about Joe?
Yeah, Joe is not my winner pick. Spoiler alert. I actually had Joe going pre-jury, so pre-merge. And this is what I wrote about Joe. So although Joe is an asset in the challenges, the Tony of it all will scare the alliance of Cole, Desi, Jessica, and Rourke. Meanwhile, Mike's just happy it's not his name being thrown around. During his brief stint on the beach, Joe has managed to construct 3 spy shacks, speak in llama, and hunt for idols, all while claiming that he's, quote, nothing like Tony. Yeah, there was nothing but Tony jokes. That's all I could think about with Joe. It's so funny to just like go back and reread this. Like, yeah, okay, Liana, we're over the Tony thing. Nobody makes that joke anymore. And it's like, oh, let me rehash these really old, tired jokes.
Yeah, put yourself in the mentality of late September Liana. We could tell when you, when the timestamp, when you quoted that one rapping teacher a few weeks ago. Here's what I wrote about Joe. I actually had Joe making the finale. And here's what I said. Joe is going to be true to his word and hit the ground running, which will not vibe especially well on a tribe that just watched Tony try to do the same less than 1 month before the game started. But his go with the flow strategy will allow him to get picked up as a number by some other tribe members, and he'll be able to sufficiently walk back his blunders in the first few days. Joe will be able to practice restraint for the rest of the game, but will be viewed as too much of a threat for the end game and will get voted out right before the end.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for this one, Mike, I've got to give it to you. I think that's. I think you know what. He didn't go as far as you thought, and he definitely didn't walk anything back. But I think you were right in the fact that he got picked up as some numbers. That's what happened, wasn't it? That's what happened. Yeah. So, good on you. I never would have predicted that before the season started. So
seriously.
I think you did very good there, Mike.
Like, did we watch the same like preseason coverage?
I want to predict that like you always have that like, well, I mean, people even thought about this, not to go back to the Tony comparison, but I feel like people even thought about this with Tony back in Kagayam. It's like, this guy is too big of a personality. He's going to flame out early. But I feel like there are peaks of these types of people who you think are just going to do horribly because they stick out like a sore thumb, but then they really turn out to excel. Of course, as you said, I don't think he ended up practicing restraint. In fact, I think he turned it up even more once the post-merch hit. And I'm going to also, I appreciate the win, Nick. I will also call this sort of a mental win for my Cole prediction last week, which I will say there were quite a number of listeners who were up in arms about the fact that purely because Liana did a song, she ended up winning. Whereas I had made several correct predictions about Cole, surprisingly.
Yeah, okay. Well, we know what the priorities are.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's about entertainment more than accuracy.
This is an entertainment podcast. We just want silliness, Mike. So if you could take your seriousness and just see yourself out of the B&B, please.
Yeah. Take that, Mike.
Leave your gravity at the door. We are an anti-gravity podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, speaking of complete silliness, we are going to now do our next segment, which is...
Is it Squatty Potty? Is it Squatty Potty?
It's we brought back the Squatty Potty Challenge.
Yes!
No. We are going to be talking Mad Libs. So these were inspired by two JPs, Jeff Probst and JP Hilsebeck. So the first one that we're going to play is, now this is based on the fact that Jeff Probst seems to be really extra this season. And I know he's been sort of ramping this up over the past three seasons, but his sexy voice to describe
the pecan
pie food. Yeah. And the cheeseburgers. So I was inspired by that. So what I did is I took his description of one of the reward challenges, including the reward, and we're going to rewrite it with our own Mad Lib style words. So are you ready to play?
This feels really like this feels like a test to me, because we are with an English teacher. So if I screw up a part of speech even more than I usually do, I feel like I'm going to have to sit in a corner somewhere.
Yeah, you're going to have to put on the dunce cap and sit in the corner.
Can I remind you again of the time here that we're recording this? So I'm probably going to do that as well, and I'll be sitting right
there.
That's
true. Yeah, I have a bit of a handicap.
Yeah, you have.
Can I just, inside info here. I have marked 125 exams today, so my brain is mush. So let's do this. Let's do this.
All right. That's okay. You know, incorrect parts of speech just makes it that much more entertaining. So First, we're going to start off with a plural noun.
Ooh, veggie wraps.
Okay. An adjective.
Pink chicken.
No.
That's a noun. Okay. That's okay. It'll work. Okay. A body part.
Ooh, nostril.
Okay. Two nouns, and pink chicken is not acceptable.
Mike, you got this one?
How about bike helmet for one?
Okay.
And give me tortoise for the other.
Aw. Okay. Okay, another noun.
Shovel.
Okay. A shape or pattern.
Paisley.
Okay. A verb.
Run.
And a noun.
Key lime pie.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, no, I lied. We got more. Mode of transportation.
Tuk tuk.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
Oh, very perfect. Good. That's right. We just paired up in the match game, which is the game within the game of this podcast that nobody knew about.
Yeah, exactly. This is Gameception. Okay, an adjective.
Invulnerable.
Okay. Okay, I need a location.
Hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think of a location. Okay, another location.
Oh, God, another location. Jeff Probst Botox Clinic.
Okay. Three unsexy things.
Ooh, perfect.
Okay. Yeah, Mike, this is right up your wheelhouse.
I was gonna say, like, what did I do today? Let's see. Give me a burp.
Okay.
Let's see.
Wet socks.
Wet socks.
Oh.
Cellulite.
Nice.
Okay, and lastly, a verb ending in ing.
Riffing.
Riffing. Ooh, okay. Ooh, good.
Okay, all right. So here is Jeff Probst's description of the reward challenge and the reward that you'll receive. All right, come on in, veggie wraps. All right, let's get to the pink chicken reward challenge. For today's challenge, you're going to use your nostrils only.
Yes.
That would be interesting to see. On my go, you'll release the rope that will drop the bike helmets into a tortoise. You will then stack those tortoise shovels in a paisley pattern.
Yes.
Then run a key lime pie into the center. First person to finish wins reward. Want to know what you're playing for? You'll be taken on a tuk-tuk for an invulnerable tour of a hot dog eating contest. Truly one of the most beautiful places in Jeff Probst Botox Clinic. You'll then enjoy burping, wet socks, and cellulite. I know it's worth playing for. Take your spots and we'll get riffing.
Oh my God.
Very good.
Wait, so let's break this down a little bit. So the challenge would be to throw a bunch of bike helmets at a tortoise
with your nostril.
And then bring a pie to the center using only your nostrils.
Yes, yeah. Yes, using only your nostrils, yes. And I'm just excited to see one of the most beautiful places in Jeff Probst's Botox clinic, which contains a hot dog eating
contest. Yeah, of all three rooms in Jeff Probst's Botox clinic, that is by far the most decadent.
My favorite part is that you're at a hot dog eating contest after being starving on Survivor, and the prize is wet socks. Like, what about hot dogs? Like, where?
No. You get wet socks.
I actually feel like burping and cellulite actually go pretty well with hot dog eating contests.
That's right. Yeah, you actually do get the cellulite from the hot dog eating contest. So that one is accurate.
But I also imagine if they are transported by tuk-tuk, because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's, speaking of, you know, longer themes, there's been a recurring theme the past couple episodes of mooning, where the mode of transport goes by and everyone back at camp is mooning the person. Could you imagine, like, Keith Nail driving the tuk-tuk slowly across the camp and everyone just mooning them for an extended portion of time?
I can see that, actually.
Yeah. Talk about seeing cellulite up and close and personal.
Oh, gross. Well, that's okay. I mean, I could also see Keith Nail then, like, bending over while driving the tuk-tuk and mooning them back, so... I think that that's appropriate. Okay, so that was inspired by Jeff Probst. Now, this one is going to be inspired by our very own JP. So, as you, I'm sure, are familiar, JP didn't exactly get a lot of airtime on the show. He had a total of 5 confessionals. He didn't even get his final words. So, what we're going to is we're going to write our very own JP confessional. So something that we never got to see on the show, but I'm sure JP spoke about himself. So let's start with an adjective.
Oh, God. Red.
A verb ending in ing.
Careening.
Okay. Let's see. 2 Survivor players.
Jamie Dugan. And Laura Moret.
Ooh.
At least it's not Mookie. She voted out her Mookie. Okay. all right, we need an adjective.
Prosperous.
JP's actually might have a decent confessional here. Okay, plural noun.
Baby gates.
I am struggling here.
Yeah, well, it's okay. You didn't come up with baby gates, so I think that's all right. Okay, characteristic, like, of a person.
Sensuous.
Wow. Okay, 2 verbs.
Give me extinguish in honor of his firefighter legacy and piss.
I was going to say kiss, but let's go with piss.
Okay, 2 nouns.
Cup and popcorn.
Okay, and finally a verb.
Smooth over. What were you trying to say in the first one?
I was going to say,
smooth.
Just smooth. There we go.
Finally, okay. Smooth gets its retribution.
Okay, so you're going to have to bear with me. So this is a transcript from a confessional he gave. It was a secret confessional online. Oh, cool. Yes, it has been transcribed word for word, so I apologize if reading it is a little difficult, but I'm going to do my best.
All right, do it.
Okay, so this is what JP said. I mean, it lucked out very red that I ended up careening next to Jamie Dugan and Laura Moret. You know, they're prosperous baby gates, you know, similar, sensuous, and just being able to kind of extinguish and, you know, piss with them and build that relationship with them, you know, it was kind of nice, you know, to be able to kind of talk about cup talk and just you know, kind of take it from the popcorn and just smooth out, you know, where everybody's at and things like that, and kind of go from there.
That makes so much more sense than anything he said on the show.
I'm so concerned that if he's pissing next to Jamie Dugan and Laura Moret and also talking about cup game with them, I don't want to know what their conversations are like.
I have no idea what that means, but yes, it probably does make more sense than maybe something JP said. Oh my gosh. Actually, so in his Ponderosa video, which is hilarious, he says something like, I've been eating a whole lot of not food. And then he like stops himself and he's like, well, that didn't really make any sense. there what I just said. So just like, okay.
That's the limit. I think we finally found the limit in which JP realizes that maybe the words coming out of his mouth are not necessarily all there. I also like, we actually ended up, I would consider, considering that Jamie Dugan and Laura Moret are both prosperous parents on their own, they do definitely seem like baby Gates in their own regard.
Prosperous baby Gates, you know?
Can we just say, how did JP get through casting? Because, like, you need to be able to talk a lot to a lot of different people to get through that process. And, like, to me, this just, him being on the show just reeks of, like, we need a hero's tribe. Quick, find me someone. Find me, like, a police officer. Find me a firefighter. And they just grabbed him last minute and put him in there because he's good looking and his job fit the theme. Like, there's just no way that he was charismatic enough to get the seal of approval.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think there are a lot of people who have been wondering that, you know, how is it that JP got on the show? But I would direct you to his Instagram, in which he is mostly shirtless in most of the pictures.
Oh, God. I don't want to know what buttons Liana clicked to, when she's following
I'm
JP
too busy
on Instagram.
Stalking Mookie. I'm too busy stalking Mookie. I got to be stalking JP.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You chose the wrong person to stalk.
Well, speaking of JP, let the JP comparisons role, and we're going to go back to the first JP that you talked about here, Liana, Jeff Probst. We are going to do the inevitable and compare American and Australian Survivor here. Over the course of your time on the Know-It-Alls this past Australian Survivor season, you confided in the great Shannon Gates, who helped you with all the games that you planned. I confided in her once more to see if she had a game for you, and she did, in a game we like to call JP or JLP. And here's how it works. Nick, you're going to be competing against the house in the form of Liana, truly American versus Australian. I'm going to give you a quote, and you are going to lock in your answer as to whether Jeff Probst said it or Jonathan LaPaglia said it. This is best of seven. Whoever has the most answers correct at the end of seven wins. Now, this is extra pressure for you, Nick, because not only are you trying to distinguish between both hosts, but you have actually interacted directly with one of these hosts.
The whole time I was just getting berated by other players. I barely had a chance to even talk to him. So if I'm shoddy at this, I think that explains why.
Oh, man, I got to start getting it. I got to get into the mind games of everything. I think I'm just going to start making the snake sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't throw me off here, Liana. You're going down.
Well, we'll see if you are able to hiss or miss as we move into question one.
That's a good name.
Who said it, JP or JLP? Question one. In Survivor, you must remember, strategy may not be the topic of every conversation, but every conversation is strategic. So lock in your answers on your own, JP or JLP.
Yep, I got mine.
Okay, I got my answer.
Liana, what did you say?
I said JLP.
Nick?
I also said JLP.
That is correct. Jonathan LaPaglia is the correct answer. I think he said it this most recent season of Australian Survivor.
Yes,
yeah, I was
going
to say, I actually think I remember that.
Because I remember thinking, wow, that's actually a good one.
Well, hopefully I started you off easy as we move into question two. Two tribal councils in a row where everything is not as it seems, which is why this game is so fun to watch and so difficult to play. JP or JLP?
Okay. I'm good.
Nick?
That's JP.
Liana?
What? I said JLP.
Nick has taken the lead. Jeff Probst is the correct answer.
Was that from this most recent episode?
I don't know if it was from this most recent episode, but I feel like it might have been from like a couple of episodes ago when he was trying to like contextual or trying to hide like the, well, another healer went home, but I'm going to try to describe this as like really interesting stakes.
Well, see, this is what happens when you binge everything. It all seems so soon. So I guess that's given me a one up in this occasion.
I thought it was going to be a trick. I was like, oh, that's Jeff Probst. No. It's I'm like overthinking this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, we're at my JP roots.
Yeah, we're at level one. You are definitely at like level 10 right now, Liana.
This is the B&B. We don't overthink things here.
No. Yes. Leave your thoughts and the gravity at the door. We're a mindless freeform podcast. Let's move into question three here. Nick, you were ahead 2-1. Almost every single vote at Tribal Council is about strategy. But every so often, it's just about consequences.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Liana, what have you got? Okay.
All right, I'm just gonna stick with JLP. Let's see how it goes.
Nick?
And I'm gonna go JP on that one.
Liana, you might need to pick a different strategy, because Jeff Probst is the correct answer.
Woo! It just seems like that was much more abstract than what JLP would whip up. I like that. Yeah.
I was busy writing down my answers with my nostrils, so clearly that's not working for me.
Yeah, you have a better shot of throwing a bike helmet at a tortoise with your nostrils at this point than writing a correct answer down. Let's move on to question 4. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done before. The only thing that matters out here is how you play the game.
Okay.
I've got my answer, yep.
All right, Nick, what do you got?
I got JLP.
Liana?
JLP!
All right, well, you got that answer correct. JLP is the correct answer. Nick has a perfect streak so far, 4 for 4. Liana is behind by 2.
Can I say that one's a little bit unfair, because that was actually played over the commercial that I was in, where it said, it doesn't matter who you are. And it's like, a beauty, or whatever it was. And then when they showed the brain, they showed me, it says, all that matters is how you play the game. And I was like, oh crap, like this is gonna paint me in a really bad light these next few episodes. So that one was unfairly skewed towards me, Liana. So happy to give you the point for that one.
Well, now I know my next strategy. I'm gonna go on Survivor, watch the commercials, listen for the voiceover that's played as I'm embarrassed on screen. That's the way to win. I got it.
But could you imagine if Jeff Probst was doing the voiceover for the commercials nowadays? Like, we've got a real great group of survivors. so delicious.
They're gonna be playing for cheeseburgers, key lime pie, yeah, and the $1 million.
We've got Joe, Patrick, Simone. Emphasis on moan.
Moan. Yeah. That's, oh my god.
Oh boy. Now I feel like Jeff Probst should do like 1-900 numbers in the off season.
Yes. I would bring that.
All right. Next question here. We've got 3 left. The interesting thing about big moves is they can expose big players.
Okay, I've got mine.
I'm not sure about this one.
It wasn't playing over the...
It wasn't playing on a picture of you attributed to it. Yeah, that's your hint.
Yeah. Okay, all right, yep.
All right, Liana, what do you have?
I said JP.
And Nick?
JLP.
Nick, your perfect streak continues. JLP is the correct answer.
The one time I don't answer JLP, of course.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that could be initially like generic enough to attribute to Jeff Probst, but no, JLP did say it at one point.
Got me with the big moves.
Yeah, I know. That's like his trigger word.
I feel like this season of Survivor, they were obsessed with, in Australian Survivor, obsessed with pushing the idea that, you know, it was big moves, big moves. We are playing big, not like season 1. So I feel like that one was something that he would say. Okay, cool. Next.
All right. Second to last question. Anytime there are lines drawn in the sand, the question is, will they be there in the morning, or will the tides wash them away?
Okay, I think I actually maybe remember this one.
All right, that's a start.
I feel like I've heard it, but I don't know where. Okay.
All right. Liana, what have you got?
I said JP.
Nick?
Yeah, I was going to say JP as well, yeah.
You are both correct. It is indeed Jeff Probst.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah, lots of talk about lines drawn in the sand. Yeah. It's Noah, worlds apart. There's a chainsaw in the sand. That I still don't know if that works.
Oh, yeah.
At least it's not in concrete.
Yeah. All right, okay. Final question. Liana, mathematically, you have no way of catching up. I want to see if Nick can continue this perfect streak as we get to question 7. From tonight's events, it was pretty clear this game is always changing. The question is, how will this change affect your game?
This is a change. Okay.
This is a change. I don't know this one.
How about this a change? How you say
big moves?
How you say big deep? Dig deep. Big deep. Yes.
Okay. Can you just repeat it one more time without the
accent? Sure. I'll try not to screw it up. This from tonight's events, it's pretty clear the game is always changing. The question is, how will this change affect your game?
Wow, you swapped accents like 4 times during the...
I was just representing the general continent of Europe.
Mike, I love it. I love you so much. Your accents are like, just give me life. Like, okay. All right.
This is my generic European offensive accent. Don't worry about it.
Essentially was Borat.
Right. Yeah, right.
Oh, I have gosh. No okay. idea, and it's really stressing me out that I'm going to lose my streak here, but I'm just...
Yeah. Well, see, that's like, that was my plan, is low expectations.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I'm just going to go with JLP.
Liana?
I said JP.
All right. Let's see if perfection can be achieved on a game of the B&B. Today, miracles do happen. Nick, you are correct. It is JLP.
And yes!
Fun fact, I know you were very unsure about this. There may have been something telling you to pick JLP, because JLP said this, fun fact, at the tribal council where you were voted out the first time.
Yeah, but he was gone, right?
No, he was sitting on the other side.
The first time. Okay,
you probably had so much blood pumping through your ears at that point that you probably were not listening to anything he was saying.
No. I didn't hear a thing he was talking about. Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. Very good. Thanks, JLP. Always looking out for me.
So now we have what? We have Earl Cole, JT, we've got Cochran, we've got Jeremy, we've got Adam Klein. Adam. Now we have Nick Yadanza to add to the unanimous vote Hall of Fame with this B&B game.
It's so different to my actual Survivor record, which is like most votes in a season.
Yeah, I was like, and you played just as well when you played Survivor.
Yeah, exactly. If only I played a quarter of as well as I played tonight.
Very good. Earl Cole of Australian Survivor.
One of Mookie's best friends.
Exactly. Oh, man. Okay. Well, now we have one final game. This is also JP inspired. It's called J3. And shout out to Paul Osleson for putting this together. So this game tests your knowledge of 3 of the biggest Survivor characters of all time, who all happen to be named JP. I'm sure you're thinking, who are the other JPs? Well, JP1 was John Palioque from Survivor Vanuatu, famously voted out 3rd and was also on Solidary.
Yes.
Or JP2, Jean-Paul Calderon from Survivor Cook Islands.
Yeah.
And of course, JP Hilsebeck from this season.
Not even Jonathan Pennant? Like,
no.
Is JP4 Pope John Paul II? Is he like a secret option?
That's right. Yeah, there's actually trick questions in here where the Pope is the correct answer.
Okay. Good to know.
Okay, so the way we're going to play this game is you two will face off against each other.
Ooh.
And you will get 1 point per question. We'll alternate questions, but there is the option to steal. So if you miss a question, the other person can then come in and steal that point.
Okay.
So these questions are all about the J3.
Sounds like an awful boy band.
I was going to say, I'm so surprised that I was not the one to come up with the title of this game. Even I am.
Yeah, Paul gets all the credit for that one. Okay, so we'll
Jean
go
Paul?
Ahead and... John Paul. Yeah, exactly. Actually, that's what we're going to call him now. That's JP5 also an answer to these questions.
JP5 also... this also sounds like a really bad like action movie franchise.
Yeah, or if it's the JP5, that's also the boy band.
Well, we have what? We have like JP1 is the OG. JP2 is like... I don't know, like something's cooking in the Cook Islands. JP3 up in smoke.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but then all of them, you know, they have to have their different archetypes, right? So that every girl can have a crush, you know, or boy can have a crush on like each one. So like JP Hilsebeck is the silent type.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's like with the Bourne franchise and with like Jack Reacher when they're like, okay, we're gonna bring in a different actor. Like that's what they do with the JP franchise.
Every 10 years, I just get a new one.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for the next article of who's going to be the next JP.
Yeah, that's actually a new reality show coming. A new hit reality show coming to CBS.
You know, I feel like the time has really come. It's 2017. We need a female JP to be represented.
Yeah. America's next JP.
America's next JP. Time for a woman. All right. Okay, so, Nick, we will start with you. So, this first question is, which JP does not have a Californian hometown? So JP1, JP, I guess technically the Pope is an answer, but okay. Hint, it's not the Pope.
All right. I am going to go with, because I actually have some inside knowledge on JP2, and I'll tell you, I don't want to give it away in case it gives you, gives Mike
what,
some
what months. Instagram were you following to get this inside information?
I'll reveal my sources later. I'm going to go, I have no guess on the other two, but I'm just going to say that JP1.
That is correct. JP1 is from Indiana. Okay, so well, what's your inside information now?
I'm worried it might be another question. Can I hold cards close to my chest?
Sure, yeah.
I'm such a snake, Mike.
Hold the JP.
Okay.
JP2 actually did the voiceover for when Nick was voted out. So.
Yes.
All right, Mike. This question is for you. Which JP received the most total ouster votes in their season?
In their season?
Well, I think it's when they... So I think it's the total votes when they were voted out. So just at that one tribal.
I want to say, because JP Calderon, I feel like it was like a pretty close vote, because I'm pretty sure that's when the females of Rero came together and said, okay, we're going to vote out JP because he's being a douche nozzle.
Yeah.
And pretty sure JP Hilzebeck got like, what? He got 5 votes at the most recent tribal council. I feel like John Palyok might have gotten a unanimous vote, or there were 8 people left. So I feel like he got 6 maybe. Ooh, it's between 1 and 3. I'm going to go with, I'll stick with 1.
So, spoiler, it was... Wait.
Oh, you almost wrote your own game.
I know. Yes, well, it's very early. Okay, Nick, you actually have a chance to steal. So, it's not whatever answer Mike gave.
Yeah. This is great. I was going to go with JP3.
Okay, so it was actually JP2.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he had 7 votes.
7? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess I just forgot Cook Islands.
He must be accumulating across the season, surely.
Actually, no. I think the true winner is JP4. I don't know how many Cardinals voted for the Pope, but I'm pretty sure that he gets the most.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, we got the black smoke or the white smoke, whichever one it is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
All
well, right. Actually, well, fun fact, I heard the smoke actually came out much longer than it does usually, because they had Becky and Sandra in the Vatican trying to make fire.
It took hours for them to know if they'd selected a
pope. That is so funny. Yes.
Okay. All right. So question number 3. So Nick, we'll go to you. Which JP started out on a tribe with a color not like the other two? So 2 of the JPs had the same color on their starting tribe, but a third one did not.
Oh, okay. All right. So this JP3 started off on, was it blue? I was going to say it's blue, right? And then JP2 was on the Hispanic tribe, which was, I feel like it was red, if red, blue, yellow, and yeah, I'm going to say I feel like that was red. And the first, I cannot remember. Say the question again so I can get the wording right.
So which JP started out on a tribe with a color not like the other two?
Okay, well, that doesn't help unless I know what the third one is. God, that sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, Vanuatu. I feel like the colors were yellow. I feel like the girls were yellow or something like that, and the boys are red. Oh, okay, JP3.
That is correct.
Yes.
JP3's hero tribe was blue. The other two were red.
Woo!
Okay. All right, Mike, this is your question. Which JP listed having a cat on their bio?
What? All right. It definitely wasn't JP3 because he has a pride in his dog, Thor. And I don't think cats and dogs would get along in the same household. Did you say they listed having a cat as like one of their like claims to fame, or is it like a?
Yeah, I mean, it was listed on their bio. I don't know if it's necessary claim to fame.
I have a cat.
that's how JP3 finally got it. That's the secret as to why he was on the show. Like, you've got a cat? Oh God, well, we got to for sure.
Oh boy, we got get all those cat ladies are just fascinated with Big Brother. We got to bring them over to Survivor.
That's right. It worked for me. Well, actually, I would have thought that JP3. Yeah, so he does have a dog named Thor. Spoiler, but I would have liked to have seen if JP had made the family visit. I really wanted his dog to be his family member that would come and visit. I thought that just would have been the most adorable.
That would have been good.
Especially if you had to play in the challenge with JP.
Yeah.
Aww. Especially when they then do that, the confessional of the loved one, and the dog is more eloquent than he is.
The dog can put together sentences better than JP.
But I could imagine that, like, if they brought the dog out as a family visit, like, they'd fix the challenge, right? Okay, here's what you have to do. Dig a hole to find a bone. Use that to fetch a frisbee.
It's actually a hot dog eating contest, yeah, exactly. Obviously.
And the one to gain the least amount of cellulite wins reward.
Now, whoever can lick their crutch the longest wins.
This is the next endurance challenge. Lick your crutch for the longest. You've been out here a long time. You're going to have to dig deep.
And that'll work with Jeff Crow's sexy voice.
Work everywhere. Oh God, now I can imagine, like, all right, we'll put a bunch of peanut butter on there, but you can sit out the challenge if you want to lick the peanut butter off.
And what type of peanut butter? Smooth.
Oh yeah, the best verb. All right, God, what's the question?
Something about a cat.
Oh no,
and I don't know. We don't know if the cat licked their crotch or not, but which JP listed having a cat on their bio?
Oh God, all right, so it's between one and two. I feel like I'm just gonna go with one, just pure gut.
That's correct. JP1 had a cat named Keely. JP2 had a dog named Frankie. And of course, JP3 had a dog named Thor.
Wait, JP1 had a cat named Key Lime Pie. Is that what you said?
Yes. Key Lime Pie.
Come here, Key Lime Pie.
Nope. That's weird. Okay. All right. Next question. So Nick, this is for you. All three JPs played around the same age at 28, 30, and 31. Which JP was 30?
JP in the middle.
Oh wow. Okay. The middle one. Yeah. It's
like Malcolm in the middle. It's JP in the middle.
Yeah, who looked the most 30, Nick?
Who looked like, yeah, but versus 28 or 31?
It's a little distinction.
Such a random I remember thinking that JP2 was older. I ended up being older than I thought he was. If that makes sense. Probably not. And so I'm just going to go.
Yeah, but how old did you think he was?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, for some reason, there's something ringing a bell about his age. I'm just going to go with.
I really want to know this connection now if it's about his age.
No. I'm going to go with JP3.
Okay, that is incorrect. Mike, you have a chance to steal.
All right, between one and two. Because I feel like JP3 is 28. So between which one's 30 and which one's 31?
31.
Man, really splitting hairs. Of which I don't think JP2 had many on the top of his head, from what I remember. I'm gonna go with, I think I'll say JP2 was 30, and maybe that's what threw Nick off.
That is correct. JP2 was 30. JP1 was 31. And yes, Mike, you had that JP3 was 28. Okay. All right. So our next question, Mike, this is for you. Which JP said in his final words that his boot was something he, quote, never saw coming and there were, quote, no hard feelings?
Well, it's not JP3. We know that. unless you count, I mean, really would have thrown off and be like, which JP3 said, I worked with Jamie Dugan and Laura Moret? All right, so it comes down to one and two once more. I'm trying to remember. I feel like John Palioc was actually pretty shocked that he went home, because I feel like he went home in the first ever double tribal council, And I feel like you'd have tried to throw me off since JP2 was sufficiently blindsided as well. And I definitely think he would have hard feelings. So I'm going to go with JP1.
That is incorrect. So, Nick, you can steal if you know the right answer.
Pope.
Let me think.
JP4.
Yeah, we'll lock in JP2 there. That was my
yes.
That was my gut because I remember him being really blindsided, and I'm glad you talked it out, Mike, because I did not remember the circumstances around JP1 goings.
Hoisted by my own Jay Petard.
That's right. Yes, that is correct. But Paul definitely has a note that says, but maybe JP3 said it. We don't know. So I also would have accepted JP3 as an answer.
That is absolutely shameful that he did not get his final word.
I know. Okay. All right. Well, congratulations, Nick. Your win streak continues. You have beaten Mike. But there are some, actually, we had some funny tiebreakers for a sudden death.
Okay.
So these were all about JP3. And apparently part of JP's logic for doing Survivor was because he thought, quote, I can do that, which I just really liked. And he also describes himself as romantic.
Aww. Well, we heard about him taking people out on a date, didn't we? So
that's right. Tri-tip salads.
That's
no
it.
Pants. Who
what
knows?
What is a tri-tip salad? Can you explain it to someone from Australia who's never heard what that is before?
Yeah, I think it's like it says like a steak salad, right?
Yeah, because tri-tip is like a cut, right? Like,
I mean, we have to ask. We have to ask Joe, the steak authority. We're no Outback, but yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I thought it was some like big, crazy, cool thing. It's just a steak salad. Awesome. Okay, cool.
Well, now that we're out of the game, Nick, now you've been teasing us with this JP2 connection. Talk to us about it.
Okay, so it's not a connection. It's like I don't know if you know, but JP was on the Janice Dickinson modeling agency show.
Yes,
did you know
yes,
this?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I used to watch that with my sister, and like it actually like revealed a lot of stuff about him and his life, like that he actually was a gay man and he became a model and he was like he had like a real temper on him and stuff. And yeah, all this stuff that you did not gather from the show at all. And I thought that might have been one of the questions, so I didn't want to throw you off. But you're a historian, of course you know all this stuff.
Yeah, well, sorry that that show couldn't help you figure out, you know,
which one had a cat.
How old JP, yeah, which one had a cat named Keely.
I also find it really fun that the first two JPs all went on to do other reality shows. Liana, as you mentioned, John Palayak actually had a pretty deep run on Solitary. JP2 was on Janice Dickinson's modeling agency. God only knows what JP3 is going to be on now to continue the legacy.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
See? He'll probably be on some sort of Food Network show trying to make tri-tip salad.
I was gonna say, predict what show we think he's gonna be on.
All right, JP, what'd you make today? Well, took a little bit of arugula and put it in a bowl. Thought it'd be pretty cool. Yeah, you know,
and whatnot.
Well,
like that.
Maybe my connection needs to be that I need to go and stalk JP2 on Instagram first and see. Then I can have an actual connection that no one else knows about.
That's right. I think if anything, we just, you know, really just always stalk them on Instagram. That's the correct answer.
I think that's the lesson we've learned as Survivor fans, right? That's a totally healthy thing to do. Much like a tri-tip salad. All right, let's move on to our final segment of each and every week here on the B&B, the question of the week. Last week's question of the week, create a new Survivor endurance challenge outside of licking your crotch, I guess, which is what we came up with several minutes ago. So as always, I'll read some responses from the listeners, and then we'll go down the line and each give our own new ideas for Survivor endurance challenges in response to the squatting challenge from last episode. First from Jeff Bajorek. I won't do it in an accent, that'll confuse it even further. He says, not sure if this is feasible, but I would like a mental endurance challenge, but BB style, like the superhero challenge where you cannot see other players. The mental part is going to be what drives each contestant the most crazy. The player can choose to step down or clock out and get some food. The one who stays the longest wins. So I thought this would be a fun idea. And I thought it'd be interesting if we could sort of like brainstorm with some of the players this season, what we think would be like the thing Survivor would bring out to try to get them to step down.
Well, they list their pet peeves, right, on their bio. That's why they have them do it in preparation for this endurance challenge.
Well, now I'm trying to remember what the pet peeves were. I know a lot of them were like when someone doesn't clean up or, you know, when someone talks too much.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine for somebody that talks too much, they just like bring out Eliza and sit her next to him and then just have him go. I think JP was, he doesn't like people who don't follow through. So I don't exactly know how we make that into.
I think it would be like you have someone like hammering in nails, but stop like before an inch before the nail completely goes
oh,
in.
Oh my goodness. That would drive me crazy.
Oh, that's funny. So we want things that are going to annoy them to step down or things that are going to tempt them to step down?
I feel like things that would annoy them. Yeah. Something that drives them the most crazy.
Well, Ryan's would be like an exposed neck, surely.
Exposed, just someone, right? Like, it's just like craning their neck towards the sun. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And he'd be like, oh God, make it stop. It's so unprotected.
Give it a turtleneck. Give it a scarf. Anything.
Please.
Please. Oh my gosh. What would, let's see. Well, we know that Chrissy's would just be Joe.
Yeah. Just bring Joe back. I feel like a lot of these people's would just be Joe. Ben's would be Joe.
He's multi-purpose.
Mike's would just be the concept of gonorrhea.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think he'd actually be okay with that.
Yeah, no, I would say that his would be like a working, like, you know, a reproductive organ.
Yeah, I would be like, oh, you don't have ED? Oh, okay, darn. No analogies here.
Nick, if this challenge happened on Australian Survivor, what would get you to step down?
Pet peeves. I hate when people pick their feet. And that sounds gross, but like when people actually like just sit there and they like touch their feet and it's just like, dude, like people would do it out on the island and it's just like, and then would reach into the pot that we're all eating from.
Oh.
And you just had to be like, man, what are you doing? Like, it's just, it's already gross enough out here. So that was something that I continuously tried to bite my tongue with.
Oh, that's so gross.
It's
what
so
it, like,
gross.
Pick skin, like dead just, skin off
Yeah,
feet?
And just like touching and playing with it, like, you know, and don't even realize that they're doing it. It's just disgusting. Aww. And yeah.
That's pretty bad.
So then they would just like, if we just show like a sizzle reel of like the foot challenge from this past episode, Max Dawson putting his warty foot in the pot, like that would probably be the one to send you off.
Exactly that. That foot just, challenge, like if for all the foot fetishists out there, they just like, they just get like a real treat every couple of seasons. And I'm happy for them. I reckon that's a good
thing. Yeah, well, what about the poor nostril fetish people? Yeah,
I know.
We've got them covered. We've got them covered, guys.
All right. Dominic Malpietti says, my endurance challenge would have balance while having to hold a rope with leverage weight held over a fire. Each survivor will have a different castaway's loved one letter attached to the weight. And as they fall out, they will also be destroying someone else's loved one letter.
Oh.
So I would call this the Ike Wong challenge for all you Big Brother Canada fans out there.
Yeah, shred those letters. Well, that's, but see, wait, so you destroy someone else's letter or do you destroy your own love letter?
Yeah, so I guess which one would work better, do you think?
Well, if like, I mean, not to go back to Chrissy and Joe, but if Chrissy was out there, she would just be like, sorry.
She'd be like, can I just throw it in the fire
slipped.
Now?
Yeah, right. Like, I don't even have to hold this. I'll go get it and burn it.
I feel like it would have to be someone else's, because if it was yours, then if you win, not only do you win immunity, but you win the letter, unless it was for a reward. Yeah, I guess that would work.
Oh, see, it could
no,
be a
I
reward.
Like the added wrinkle that it's someone else's, that you like, not only, you know, and that would, everyone would be encouraging everyone else, don't drop, because you're going to burn my letter. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dan Sinensky says, remember that scene in Heroes versus Villains when Coach and Russell are on either side of a plank that's balanced on a log like a seesaw? Turbo totter. Each player has to pump their plank up and down without it touching the ground or a wire above.
I actually really like this because I love that scene because it's so, I feel like Courtney just like walks by. It's a really quick scene, but it never fails to make me laugh.
Yeah. For those of you that don't remember it, just check out, it's the very first entry on Mario Lanza's Funny 115 2.0, because like you said, it's complete. Nobody even mentions it, but it's Coach and Russell, I guess, taking some time from building the villains camp to just play this seesaw game with a teeter totter that they created.
And I just like the fact that it's those two. Like, you have Russell Hansen coach out there and tiny little troll Russell Hansen, and then Dragon Slayer coach. It just, it's a beautiful scene.
All right. Grace Leader says, whoever can survive in Rupert's shelter from All Stars the longest.
Now that's an endurance challenge.
That is good. I
Who will
like
be the
it.
Master of the attempted log cabin?
Oh, it's God, not worth so it. I like it.
Rafa didn't like down. Antonios says, an endurance challenge where all survivors must drink a liter of water and then see who can hold it in the longest while standing on a balance beam. It could be called Hold It In for the Win. I'm pretty sure, didn't someone like die trying to do this for a radio contest in America like 10 years ago?
What? Oh my God. Oh yeah. Wasn't it like with the hand on the car or something?
Well, so that was Hands for a Hard Body. There was a radio contest called, I think like Wee for a Wee. And a woman drank so much water that she actually overhydrated herself, which I guess, Liana, you can confirm this is a thing or not. And she died.
Yeah, it's a thing. That's crazy. Well, I think JP, I don't know how JP would do, considering that he was, you know, extinguishing and pissing near Jamie Dugan.
He needed his piss partners, JD and LM. Yeah. They're carved on a tree, their initials, but not in the way you think they would be. I like this as
don't
well.
Eat the yellow snow.
Yeah, it's like the, I would call this also like the Amanda Kimmel Memorial Challenge.
Yes,
remember when Amanda Kimmel had to run off of the hold your hand above your head to go pee in the middle of the challenge.
You know, it's funny story. The episode where I was voted out was the for real this time, was, you know, the one where you had to, the challenge where you hang on to the pole, the one that Parvati just is amazing at. And I remember being up there, you know, just before I actually fell off and couldn't stay out longer. I was like, I need to go to the toilet. I was like, I'm going to be the guy who pisses on TV and I'm not going to be able to hide it because it is going to trickle 7 meters down this pole. And they're not going to be able to edit it out because it's going to be while I'm falling, and this is going to slide down a pole of my own piss. And it was, so that didn't happen.
You're just marking your territory.
It doesn't matter if you're a brawn, a brain, or a piss.
Yeah, that becomes your legacy. Is it? Would you rather have people make the snake noise at you or
piss?
Maybe that's the noise they were making. They just knew it was going to happen.
That's right.
Piss or piss.
Imagine if they did the challenge the next season. Like, well, you can't use that pole. Nick has technically marked it as his territory.
Yeah.
Or someone. I'm just imagining like Luke from season 2 being like, "Hey, Jonathan, why does my pole smell like piss?"
He's like, all right, well, God, all right, we're going to do that. Drop a Duke then. Luke would
there's
do that.
Accent.
There's that accent. Got to bring it back.
Classic.
So John Tinkham says, as far as the question of the week, the challenge would incorporate Colby Donaldson and his mother. To begin the challenge, Colby would strip down and step into an outdoor shower. Once his mother's gaze is upon him, each contestant must attempt to distract her without any props or being able to touch her. Whoever can break her gaze in the shortest amount of time wins.
Oh my gosh, it's beautiful.
I'm not going near that one.
Nope. Just look at it from afar, much like Colby's mother did in that Pontiac Aztec.
Lovingly.
Oh, that's great.
Finally, Edwin Johnson says, Stephen Fishback and fishmonger Lydia guest host a challenge where Lydia teaches the players how to do the pancake. The last player to stop dancing is announced the king or queen of the fishball.
Aww.
I'd sign up for that one.
I like this. A dance marathon challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, they have those, right? The, you know, like dance marathons to raise money or whatever. So I think it makes sense.
Yeah. We've all seen that episode of Gilmore Girls. Spencer has several times. So has Rourke.
Are you allowed in the dance competition? Are you allowed to go to the toilet, or is this going to be another situation where I eventually piss myself?
This is another Nick situation.
Just imagine like puddles or like streams behind you.
6 hours into the pancake, and I'm just like just screaming.
Yeah, talk about leaving your mark on the dance floor. All right, so Nick, what is your idea for a new Survivor endurance challenge?
Well, I thought that like one of the most difficult things out there is having to endure people's conversation, right? So I thought, why not get everyone standing on a on a balance beam around a ring, staring into a glass box, and in the glass box you put all like the most annoying survivors from seasons past, right? And you get them all talking to each other about their various successes or why they were the best or why they're how the proper way to make a shelter. And everyone on the outside, the first person to roll their eyes is the loser, because stopping from rolling your eyes is really tricky out on Survivor. So I imagine we chuck in like a Debbie, Abby Maria, Philip, Coach, just like put them in this really tight glass box and just watch what happens.
Question, are there any air holes in the box?
No, because hopefully eventually they will all just kind of pass out.
That's the reward part yes. of the challenge.
If you make it, if you don't roll your eyes long enough and then they eventually all pass out, then you win. And then they're gone anyway.
I like this. I think you could also do it sort of speed dating style where you have to like, because you then have to have one-on-one conversations with these people. But the eye rolling, of course, is still the way that you would be eliminated.
Yeah. I like that. That's one of probably a more serious one. And this is something I was actually thinking about was like, I love the challenges that, like, when they walk into them, the contestants go, like, what the hell is that? Like, I love those.
Joe did that this episode when he saw, like, the driving wheel challenge. Like, oh, God, no.
I'm imagining something. And it's going to be really hard to explain, but, like, imagine it's kind of like a little tunnel, like a little moat, right? And then on either side is like a brick wall. And then you're suspended from some sort of, like, pendulum thing in the middle. And then what you have to do is just you have to continually push yourself from one side, swing all the way to the other, and then push yourself off and just maintain constant movement. So your whole body is drifting between two like planks or something like that. And you would just be getting progressively more and more dizzy. And then you would just see who would be able to maintain that momentum the longest. I think it would look really cool and like really, really mess with your head after like, 20 minutes.
And it would be perfect to like create a metaphor on something you love, Nick. Much like Jeff tried to do with the foot challenge. You could be like, this is much like Survivor, where you're swinging back and forth between allegiances, never finding a place to stop.
Yes, I could see it. And when everyone's lined up, it would look like one of those little things in like a doctor's office where you knock the silver ball and the other one moves. I think it would just be really epic to see.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that idea. I mean, if we're going to have some type of bodily excrement from one of these challenges, like vomiting is definitely, I think, present in this
For
one.
Sure. Oh, it's been
prevalent in this season as well, not even from an endurance challenge.
That's right.
All right, Liana, what is your choice for a new Survivor endurance challenge?
Okay, so I was rewatching the episodes and I was really inspired by the first immunity challenge, the one where they have the doghouse one where they have to stand on top of the floating triangle. So I called this one Crouching Ryan Hidden JP.
You're obsessed with JP. I love it.
Yes, I am. So you must remain in a crouched position and give awkward analogies every 5 minutes, all while trying to rewatch the season and spot JP like Where's Waldo in a Where's Waldo book. that was my
so would you just like point like there he is, oh, and by the way, a Survivor is much like riding a bicycle on the top of a hill.
Yeah, exactly. You like hit a buzzer when you find JP and then give an analogy.
I like this actually. If you like, you have to, it's like a filibuster. You have to consistently talk. And then when JP shows up, you have to buzz in, and the last person to buzz in gets eliminated for that round. I think that could be a fun way to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, we should be in the challenge department. These are good ideas.
I know. John Kierhofer, give us a call. We'll make sure that nobody pees in your challenge. We'll make sure of it. That's our guarantee.
Hey, I can't guarantee that.
Two out of the three of us can guarantee that we will not pee in this challenge. So my choice for a Survivor Endurance Challenge is sort of inspired by that one episode of Friends where they keep throwing the ball around. This would be like a tribe endurance challenge where there's something that you just have to keep throwing amongst yourselves. Maybe it's like a bag of rice and you're competing for that bag of rice or something. And you just have to keep it up for as long as possible. And if you drop it or if you sit down or anything, you're out. And maybe someone will come in at the end, like that episode of Friends, to interrupt everything. So they went for what, like a few days straight?
Yeah, that's I think that they'll be looking for challenges that last days. But what you could do is you could incorporate sort of a hot potato element to it if it goes too long. So then it's about, you know, you like eliminate people when the music stops playing because there's
music. Is that how you play hot potato?
Yeah,
I guess.
I like that because it's kind of like what Australian Survivor did with getting these individual challenges in the tribal portion. And I feel like that is a really cool version of that where, you know, this, where you're supposed to, you know, keep a ball in the air or whatever. But now it's like we all have to keep a ball in the air at the same time. That's, it kind of reminds me of the, like the Survivor China drum thing where you had to bounce the ball on the drum. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's good. Well done.
All right. So next week's question of the week, in honor of the new duo that has now been broken up, the Coconuts, as funny as Siskel and Ebert, says one of them, give me Survivor's next comedy duo. So what I want people to do out there is pick two Survivor players. I want preferably from completely different seasons. I want like odd couple mismatch pairings here and come up with a comedy duo. If you want to like add their like most famous routine, feel free to do that as well. You have a bunch of ways of answering this. You can always tweet it at us. When you do, use the hashtag RHAPBNB. Again, the letter B, the letter N, the letter B. You can respond to this post on the Rob Has Awesome Patrons group, in the thread itself on RobHasAWebsite.com, in Reddit, what have you. We will answer this next week with our special guest, Lita Brillman, co-host of many podcasts here on Reality TV or Half Pups, will be joining us to recap episode 12. Of Survivor 35. But before we get to that, we got to finish off this week. Nick, this was absolutely ridiculous, but I had so much fun getting to talk American Survivor with you, considering that we talk so much about every Survivor south of the equator for the past like 6 months.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me. This was super fun. And I just need to say, like, I need to stop down and thank both of you. You are like, you were my knights in shining armor for the Survivor Know-It-Alls. Not only did you, were you able to fill in for the end of Survivor New Zealand, but you did it again when I fled the country for the finale again. And you guys just did such a good job for the Australian Survivor finale. And it was, I knew that everything was in such good hands with you guys. And I'm just so thankful. So please accept my deepest gratitude.
Aw, that's really sweet, Nick. Thank you so much. It was a blast. It was, I mean, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, but it was so much fun.
To quote the voicemail guest, I believe Liana and I talked for what, like 2.5, 3.5 hours about Australian Survivor. There was a lot to talk about. But before we go, I want to talk Australian Survivor for like the next like few minutes. So if you guys don't want to hear about possible speculation for what's to come, feel free to skip ahead. But Nick, we haven't, you know, talked Australian Survivor with you since the casting for the 2018 edition was announced. Was it Champions versus Contenders, I think, is the theme. Can you talk to me a little bit about what your reaction is to this initially?
Yeah. Okay. So at first I was just glad that it was coming back because there was a little bit of question mark over whether it was going to come back for a third season. So that was great. When I saw that it was Champions versus Contenders, everyone was really down on this idea because they're thinking, you know, just it's all celebrities, etc. So I was recently at the Channel 10 upfront, and I've heard it from someone very high up in the know that it's not going to be all celebrities. It is going to be some people who are well known, and it might be like a famous footballer or someone who's, you know, big in on social media or whatever, but they're not going to be like, you know, all household names or all like actors and actresses. It's going to be like a mixture. I believe what he said was that if, you know, say there's 10 of them, you're going to know maybe 2 of them. And I think that's okay because, you know, people could say the same thing about both seasons, season 1 and season 2. People might have known Lee Castledine. People might have known Sam Webb. I know Flick, while we were out there on the island, she actually knew who Sam was and thought that he was a celebrity because she just knew him through, like, you know, his organization and through Instagram and stuff like that. Same as this season, you know, we had an Olympian with Ziggy, and we had Jared, who's like a world-famous photographer. So you could make the argument that these people would fit under the Champions category. But I think why they went for this is because I'm calling it the Sophie Monk factor. So in Australia, we had The Bachelorette. We've had The Bachelor and Bachelorette for a couple of years now. But this year we actually had a celebrity called Sophie Monk, who was a singer and she was an actress and she was in Hollywood for a little bit. She was actually the bachelorette because she was, you know, in Australian tabloids, she's been wanting to find love for so many years. And she did the bachelorette and it was a ratings smash. And that's something that Channel 10 desperately needed. So I think that it's the Sophie Monk effect, trying to get some well-known names so that people will tune in. And look, if it makes Survivor last longer, I'm okay with that because out of 24 people, if we know who three or four of them are, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. I thought Sophie Monk for a second was a new spinoff show about Sophie Clark trying to solve mysteries.
And she's a clean freak.
Not quite.
Well, so is Mookie going to be one of the contestants we're familiar with?
Sophie Mookie.
The Sophie Mookie effect, where you follow contestants on Instagram and that makes them famous to you.
Exactly.
Nice.
Well, that would be great. I think he would definitely fit under a champion. I think it's going to be cool because what's great for people out there is that they can now cast their video knowing what the theme is. And that never happens. So you people can say like, hey, I'm a contender for these reasons or blah, 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 blah. And it really kind of like will help you sell your story to the producers because you never know what they're looking for. You know that they're looking for, you know, people, but you don't know if there's like a theme or if they're looking for villains or whatever, but you can actually tailor it, which I think is pretty handy for people. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm really excited as well because if anything, you know, it's, I know that people might, again, groan at a theme, but it comes down to cast for me, theme or not. And considering how the past two seasons of Australian Survivor ran, which were some of my most favorite seasons of Survivor in quite some time, I'm really excited for it personally. I'm just happy, as you said, that it's back because I know we speculated on the podcast that we did when we subbed in for you when you got together with Craig, speculated about whether or not it would come back. So considering how dynamite it was when it ended this year, I'm so happy that we're just going to have it back next year. Nick, for those who are catching up, because I do know some people are actually still watching Australian Survivor in catch-up mode. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you did on the Know-It-Alls this past season? And also, if you want to plug your social media handle in the middle of that as well, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, there are a few people, you know, I still get people hit me up on Twitter and Instagram saying, you know, I'm up to this episode. And I love hearing from people because there's so much in that season that you could, A, go back and rewatch, but it's a long season, so it'll last you a while as well. So, I would highly recommend that people, if they haven't checked it out, go back and check it out. You know, season one was good. I think there was some really good stuff pre-merged there. There was some really good character development and one of the best finales ever. But there was a little bit that was slow. But, you know, if you haven't checked that out, check that out as well. But season two was one of the best Survivor seasons of all time, I think. I really can honestly say that. Where there was such good gameplay, such fun characters, really interesting stuff happening. So I would recommend people check that out. And, yeah, on the Survivor Know-It-Alls, you can catch that on the reality TV wrap-ups feed. We got to speak with, you know, different survivors every week. I spoke with you, Mike, and then Mike and Liana, you guys filled in for the finale. I had Shannon Gates on there, but just lots of great survivors from last season got to chime in as well. And then I got to do a lot of deep dive interviews. So I spoke with like Luke and AK and Tessa, these people for hours, just trying to get their take, really, really insightful stuff. And we go through the whole gamut from beginning to end. So if you want coverage on Survivor Australia, Australian Survivor, that was your stop. So, and you can also, yeah, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Nick Iadanza. I'd love to hear from you guys and tell me what you think of the season.
Yeah. Say you're pulling a Mookie and just follow Nick and start coming up with questions about his life to quiz to people.
Yeah. I feel like at the beginning when I was telling people about spying on Mookie, I feel like I hope that people didn't go then spying on me to create questions about my life, because at the moment my Insta stories are all like about my house being upside down with renovation. So yeah.
They really are a double. You really were a double agent, Nick. We didn't even realize that we were sending you in as a double agent, but you were the one that wanted to be the spy. We'll see if it ends up having as much egg on your face as Ben might next week. Liana, I heard, correct me if I'm wrong here, that you are going to be at the Know It Alls event in Austin next week.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Spoiler alert. Yes. I'm so excited. I'm going to be going to Austin. So I'll be there, going to karaoke on Tuesday, and then I'll be at the event on Wednesday. So if, you know, you're in the area or you can get time away, it's going to be so much fun. We have just a whole cavalcade of stars, Survivor stars. Are going to be there, including Colby. Maybe his mom will be there.
I was going to say, are you going to tell him John Tinkham's new idea for a Survivor Endurance Challenge?
Yeah, tell him. Come on, Liana.
Yeah, I'll
tell
definitely
him.
Let him know. Like, so guess what? it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you can come out, I really highly recommend it. It's going to be a blast.
Is Joe Dowdle actually going to be there?
That's what I hear.
All right. I want you to check the status of his knee.
Yeah, I was going to say, as long as he doesn't rupture his knee beforehand, no slingshot slinging for Joe Dowdle at one point before going in for the Know-It-Alls. I'm really excited to hear the Know-It-Alls take on Texas.
Yeah, well, I'll also be taking, you know, any other ideas you have for the Survivor Endurance Challenges, because obviously, you know, John Kierhofer needs to hear about this. So we will be calling him promptly.
If you guys see Liana, make sure you congratulate her, and you, Mike, as well, because as someone who's just come off an epic season of a lengthy season doing podcasts, you guys have been putting in so much work behind the scenes. I know how hard it is to come up with these games. So bravo to you guys.
Well, thank you, Nick.
Aw, thanks, Nick.
You can always follow Liana at Liana Boris on Twitter, LianaBoraas. You can follow me at A Mike Bloom Type. I did a butt ton of stuff this past week, even more than I usually do. I did 3 exit interviews, which I do every week on Parade with Joe, JP, and Cole after the Thanksgiving holiday. Be sure to check that out each and every week. I did a bunch of different podcasts. I'm always doing the Hamster Factor. I was on the Curb Your Enthusiasm recount with Rob and Akiva this past week. I was on a podcast called The Franchise, where I talked about the first 2 Jurassic Park movies and how much I love one and maybe one not so much. I finished up Stranger Things season 2, which I absolutely adored. Probably the biggest thing is that I was on The Taran Show this past week, which I know Nick, you had an instance on there as well, so be sure to check that out if you haven't yet. And I do want to take this time to sort of stop down. I know we say we leave gravity at the door here at the B&B, but I do want to thank people out there for the response to the podcast that I did with Taran. To be completely honest, that was probably the most nervous I'd been for a podcast release maybe ever, just because I have never been that open and, for lack of a better term, vulnerable about myself on a podcast that I've done before. And Taran was such a great host as we gallivanted among many topics, both serious and silly. So I've been so grateful for the response that we've gotten to it so far. Be sure to check that out if you haven't yet on The Taran Show. And also coming up, Top Chef season 15 will be making its way back into the kitchen, and so will the Top Chef Judges Roundtable. We're still trying to figure out who and when, but since it premieres this coming Thursday, the podcast will come with it on Reality TV Wrap-Ups, which if you're not subscribed yet, be sure to check all that stuff out. Since they finished up Dancing with the Stars, the challenge is over. I think Are You the One is starting to finish up. As I mentioned before, The Taran Show, there's so much stuff going on the Survivor feed as well. Rob's super lengthy recap with Hannah Shapiro, voicemails with Bryce, Into the Wiggle Room as they head down to Austin and the Survivor week progresses once more. So thank you all so much for listening. Nick, thank you so much for coming on again, braving the midnight hour to talk at length about pissing in challenges, your connections to JP Calderon, and literally anything else under the sun. We had so much fun. Thank you to Shannon Gates for her JP or JLP game this week, as well as Paul Ostleson for the JP3 quiz, and of course, all the fantastic work he does every week on the B&B. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre as well for all the work he does behind the scenes editing. And thank you all out there, too, for listening every week. Again, use hashtag RHAPBNB if you want to let us know your thoughts about the podcast overall. We'll be back next week with Lita Brillman. Thank you all again for listening. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.